outreaches, the ladies' ministry, stuff like this. It's a chance to share Christ with people that have never heard it. People come to these things, we find people are open, people listen. I was thinking about on the mission trip to Ireland last summer. Wow. Last summer, we were hiking, and I was talking to the missionary, Oriel O'Gorman. They talk about gospel clarity and how people have pieces of the gospel or have heard of parts of it, but to truly understand it and what it means and to have that in their mind, you know, figuring out exactly what they believe and how important that is. And so I think sometimes people come and they might have heard parts of the gospel or believe parts of the gospel, but to put it together in a clear, concise way. And, you know, we've had visitors from other churches that come to our church. And some of the churches in our areas are great. Some of them are not as good. And, you know, I've heard this comment, the way that they talk about salvation. We don't do this in our home church. It's not this plain or this clear. And so I think it's important that we present the gospel in a clear way and we help others and we minister to them through these outreaches. So there's great opportunities to share the gospel coming up. And, you know, this makes me think of the great missionary, the great church planter himself, the Apostle Paul. And when he first started out, he was the furthest thing from a church planter, wasn't he? He was the opposite. Remember, he would persecute the church. And we look at his life, and he appeared in the book of Acts. Stephen, who's a deacon filled with the Holy Ghost, he presents Christ. And there's the stoning. At the end of the stoning, it mentions that they laid their garments at the feet of Saul, which was before he was Paul. And it was the idea that he was taking responsibility. So we see him in clear opposition to the gospel. And, you know, God did a look in his heart. He realized he was, he hadn't really been saved, and he was living life trying to please God through his works. And then God did a look in his heart. He was humbled. He relied on Christ. He accepted Christ. And then God used him. He was trained, and then he went out. And, you know, he has the three missionary journeys. At the end of his life, he appeals all the way to Caesar. It goes to the heart of Rome, the gospel. After this prison time, he goes to Caesar for a couple of years. He's still alive, and then eventually the persecution picks up again, and then ultimately he's killed. And Paul, someone who really relies on the power of prayer. If you look at the power of ministry for Paul, except for one city, he always has a team with him. There's always other people helping him. And of course, the one city he doesn't have his team with him is also the one city he doesn't plant a church, Troas. But everywhere else he goes, he has this group that comes with him. And so Paul goes in, he preaches the big message, proclaims the gospel. He gets everyone excited. He's the big evangelist. He preaches. Then he faces persecution. He either escapes, running for his life, whipped, prison, whatever else, stonings. These are the things that are typical for Paul. And then he leaves the team behind, and they take the believers, and they build something, right? And they set up these churches, and then later some of these churches face problems, doctrinal, personality problems, and so Paul writes these letters, or we call them epistles, right? He sends them back to the churches to help them. And this is Paul's pattern. But if you look throughout the mission of Paul, you realize that the gospel truly is advanced through prayer. God uses prayer, right, to move his hand and to work. And the Apostle Paul got on the power of prayer. Market Manor Baptist Church, we're in the same situation, right? We need God's help. We face opposition. We have a community that needs the gospel. We have people that are hardened to the truth. And, of course, you know, our ministry may look exactly like Paul's, but in the same way that we are sharing Christ, and so we need to be faithful in prayer. So how does the Apostle Paul pray? I'll tell you how we tend to pray. And that's not necessarily wrong, but a lot of times we pray for safety. You know, I'm having a rough day. Can you pray that my day goes better? This is how we typically pray. You know, I have the little things that bother me. Can we pray for those things? And I have some difficulty at work. There's some unhappy people. Pray for me. This is our prayers. This is not really focus. If you're the Apostle Paul. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for safety and health. I do those things all the time. But what's Paul's main focus? He prays for the advancement of the gospel, right? He prays to go ahead. And And the idea that, you know, we tend to pray general prayers. Like, I tend to pray, you know, I pray, bring revival to America, Lord, right? Help us in America just to get saved. This is my prayer. Okay? This is a great prayer. This is not how Paul prays. He does pray for Israel, but then he goes on, he prays the Lord to enable him to bring that gospel to Israel. So he's not praying third person from the outside looking in. He prays as he's in the center of God's will and being bold, proclaiming the gospel, and dealing with persecution. So Paul prayed for effective witness and ministry. How should we pray? Well, as we look at this passage today, Ephesians 6, I'm going to say to you that there's three ways that we should pray. There's three different tactics we could pray or methods we could pray, maybe ways that we think as we pray, but all three of them are going to be important today. And we'll look in the book of Ephesians. Now, Paul has the book of Ephesians. He talks about the blessing of salvation. The first half, he talks about the doctrine, what we have. The second half, he puts it into practice. If we believe these doctrines, then how should we live these things out? How should it affect our everyday lives? How do we put these things into practice? Not just what we believe in our heads, but how do we live out in our lives? And so he'll deal with this. In this chapter, we'll talk about the armor of God. And at the end, he has some personal notes. Remember, epistles are letters, so he's writing specific communication. And he's going to share some prayer requests. This is the Apostle Paul. He's going to share with us, how can you pray for my ministry? How can you pray to advance the gospel? Number one, the first thing he says in verse 18, pray in the eyes with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Number one, he says, pray constantly in the power of the Spirit. Pray constantly in the power of the Spirit. There's something unique about quantity of prayer. And a number of times Christ will give parables, and it talks about someone that gets answers that repeatedly ask. Okay? And so there should be a sense of perseverance as we pray. This isn't a casual, this would be nice, and you move on. This is something specifically we ask the Lord repeatedly, and the Lord sees our heart and blesses our prayers. The words that he uses in this verse, he talks about always pray, and he talks about praying with perseverance, continuing on. There's a blessing if you pray for something a long time, and then finally something happens. You're like, oh, man, 10 years, and then this happened over here. But this is what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to constantly be in prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. This is an ongoing prayer. Now, how is this possible to pray without ceasing? How can you drive a car and pray at the same time? Would you be distracted? How is this possible? This is the question. How can we pray without ceasing? Well, I think prayer is more than just words. Prayer is an attitude of dependence. And as I go throughout my day, I depend upon God for each thing that I'm dealing with. And it's an ongoing conversation. Just like if I talked to you when I was working on something, I might stop and focus on this. Then I might go back and talk to you. This is the way our Christian life should be. Throughout our day, we're constantly asking God for answers to our prayers. So this attitude of dependence, this conversation with God, we should pray without ceasing. This should be an ongoing thing for us. And it says to pray through the Spirit. Romans 8 talks about the Spirit helps our prayers. We think we know how to pray, but do we really know what God's will is? Right? We know what God wants to do. So, there's a number of ways to address a problem. Is our solution the correct one? Well, I don't know. And so this is what we pray, and the Spirit helps our prayers. And so it comes out the way it's supposed to, right? And it's the prayer that we should have. God uses the prayers that we give, and he makes them according to his will. So the Spirit enables us to pray according to God's will. We need the Spirit's power. We can't grieve the Holy Spirit. We can't have sin in our life because that could hinder our prayers. But as we walk in the Spirit and we pray through the Spirit, the prayer comes out the way that it should be. I think sometimes we downplay the importance of the Spirit and prayer, but prayer is one of the most urgent things that we can do. William Capra writes, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. This power of prayer, often we're dependent upon ourselves and we don't use this power or take advantage of this power that God has given us. Or sometimes people say, if you can't do anything else, you can always pray. And it sounds like a throw-in at the end. Well, it's kind of a consolation prize. But this is backwards. Why can't you just start with prayer? Because prayer in and of itself is a very precious and valuable thing. And when you're doing a spiritual battle, you need God's supernatural enabling and helping. So question to you is, are you spending time in prayer? You know, maybe there's someone you need to witness to. You don't know what to say or the right situation. And, you know, pray for the Lord. The Lord will open up doors. It's interesting how it works. Hope that you're praying for your own witness. We have missionaries. Hopefully you're praying for the missionaries. You know, they face great opposition. They have language barrier. They have cultural barriers. And so they need God's help. So the first way we should be in prayer, we should persevere and pray through the Spirit. The second half of the verse, I want you to notice, the second half of verse 18, he says, "And watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Number two, we should pray on behalf of our fellow believers. Pray on behalf of your fellow believers. You're witnessing, and the believers around you are also witnessing. We need each other's strength and help. It talks about supplication. This is bringing requests on behalf of others. We do this on Wednesday nights. We have the prayer email. I read those. I try to always pray right away, because if I don't, I'll forget. But those are great. You find out what's happening in people's individual lives. Real-time updates. I went in for surgery. I came out of surgery. I witnessed. You know, whatever it is, we hear that as it's happening. And that's such a wonderful thing that we can pray for each other. And supplication, make requests on behalf of each other. Now, the Christian life is not an individual event. It's not just the best person over here or the best lady over here. It's a team event, isn't it? We need each other. We need the help. This is why God made the church. We need this accountability to see each other, to encourage each other. Maybe we need reminders. Maybe we forget something. But ultimately, we need to be praying for each other. And we need this Christian fellowship. This reminds me, as a young missionary teenager, my parents were missionaries. They went to the field of Hungary on my dad's 50th birthday. And I was there as a teenager. I got to the church, but I had an issue with the church. My big issue was the services were in Hungarian. And didn't really know too much Hungarian. I still don't know very much. But I know a little bit now, but I knew nothing back then. And so going to church every Sunday, people would sing, and it just sounds like they're just saying nonsense words up there. The message, the guy would get all fiery, and he'd be preaching. Now, there was a young man in the church. Young Zoe used to sit next to me and translate every once in a while. You know, this part's about, you know, marriage. Okay. Or, you know, he'd throw me a bone every once in a while to find out. But, you know, it became pretty discouraging. And spiritually, it felt like I was going backwards spiritually. I felt like I was pretty discouraged. I was kind of like wilting spiritually. Because I miss the Christian fellowship. And you don't realize how much you gain from the church and other fellow believers encouraging you along the way. And as the summer went along, they had an intern come from Georgia, and his name was Brian. And Brian was my age, and he came to help with the church, and so him and I did this internship together. And, of course, Brian, his grandparents were Hungarian, but he was English, but he could speak both languages. And so we had so much fellowship, and the missionary gave us jobs to do. Sometimes we had to go visit people, but we didn't have the bus system. We couldn't figure it out, so we'd just jump on buses and see if it went the right way. If it didn't, we get off and go the other way, find another bus, and we just kind of walk between buses. We should have just tried to figure the map out, but we were just so confused. So sometimes a 15-minute visit would take like an hour to get there. But we had so much fun together, and the encouragement, spiritual encouragement, challenging each other, sharing scripture with each other. I was just so strengthened by one other believer in my church that was my age that spoke English. What a big encouragement that was. And yeah, this is the purpose of the church. We need each other. We need the encouragement. In your spiritual life, you rely on the team around you. I hope that you do. And I hope that you're also contributing. You know, sometimes with church events, if it's not that individual's event, then they just don't come to it. Well, that's this event. But, you know, it's not just about you getting your little ministry. It's about all of us and supporting the team. I will be at Cola Clash. I will be at NBT. I will be at Camp Joy. I have no plans of being at the ladies' event whatsoever, okay? I might take some of the snacks at the end. They always have delicious snacks or whatever. As I clean up, maybe I'll take. But you know what? I'll be in prayer for them, just like I'll be in prayer for all the rest of it, because that's a part of my ministry too, right? Whether I'm directly involved or not, I still should be in prayer for that ministry. And I'm sure God has special things happening there. And so we got to be in prayer for the whole team, right? And God wants to use all the different ministries that we have. And I hope that that's our focus today. We get down to the third way that we should pray. Verses 19 and 20. He says, "And for me, that others may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Number three, how do we pray? Pray for those witnessing. Pray for that person on the front line. Now, maybe it's praying for one of the ladies that might be sharing. It could be the NBT evangelist guys. I saw them last week. Some of them were at Camp Joy. But they're already fired up, and they're all excited about everything. And they couldn't wait to hear Mr. Kuhn's next direction. What do we do next? And so I think this is good. They're so excited about this. But we need to pray for that person that's witnessing. And how do we pray for these people? Well, the first one he mentions, we should pray for the language. Pray that we would use plain language concerning Christ. Plain language. It should be clear. The Spirit draws the unbeliever to salvation. The problem is the unbeliever has a clouded understanding, right, by sin. And so the Spirit has to open up their eyes of understanding so they can hear the truth. And we need the Spirit to open hearts, okay? So it's important that we're using plain language that can be understood. Second, that the gospel will be clear to the audience. So that the language that's used would clearly communicate the truth, plain language. The gospel would be clear, would be understandable from the audience perspective. So the speaker is plain, the audience is clear on what's being said. And so these are the first two ways we pray for his gospel witness. What's the third way? Well, this is written by Paul. So what do we know about Paul? Do you think Paul ever was fearful? Do you think he ever got nervous? I don't know. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 26. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." So back then, they had the cat of nine tails. They'd put maybe rock or bone or other chips of pieces in the end. The person was strapped. They would whip them. The whip would stick in their flesh, and then they would jerk it out. And taking out flesh pieces, people could die. It was such a severe punishment. And so they would save one, because if you gave too many stripes as the person that gave the punishment, then you could get the same consequence to yourself. So you didn't want to do that. So a lot of times they would take one fewer just to be safe, right? Because they didn't want it to happen to them. But he says he lived through these. He lived through this five different times receiving this. And the Romans were very pragmatic, and they knew the best way to make people hurt, and so they'd remember. And so this was designed to inflict maximum pain, okay? We don't have anything like this in the United States anymore. We don't do this kind of thing. But the Romans didn't mess around, so this is what they did. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned." Okay, he took rocks and he threw on the person until they died. And they thought that Paul had died. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren." So, in 1 Corinthians, people are bragging, and he says, "Well, you know, I could brag too. I've been through some very difficult things myself." Now, he's not trying to pump himself up or say something amazing. But he's like, "You know, I've been through a lot too, if you want to play this card." So he talks about all the things that he faced as he shared the gospel. So, surely, the Apostle Paul is just utterly fearless, right? And so, for him, none of this is a big deal. He gets up, he speaks, it's all, you know, easy, right? It's the Apostle Paul. Isn't he amazing? But what does he say if you look at the verse? He says, "And for me, that others may be given unto me, that I open my mouth." Here's the first mention. Boldly. He prays for boldness. "To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador." He's in the process of representing Christ, even then, in prison, because of his testimony. Okay, this is brave. "That therein I may speak," here says it again, "boldly." And so he mentions a couple of times. Let us see. The third thing he prays for is that we would have boldness of witness. He says this two different times. Question for you. This is an obvious question. Are you ever fearful to share the gospel? Are you ever intimidated by the situation or the person? Like, I don't know about that person would ever take a track from me. Do we ever think this? Yeah, we do. And if the Apostle Paul wanted prayer for this, after all that he went through and he still struggled, what are the odds that you and I still struggle too? Yeah, I think the Apostle Paul is just like us. Maybe he's a lot better at this than I am, but he has the same issues that I have, right? And so we need to pray for boldness. As we have chances to share the gospel, yeah, maybe it's the hot dog dinner, maybe there's a parent there, you could ask him, you know, is there a church you attend? And what hope do you have of heaven? This is chances to show boldness. This is an audience that would have a good conversation with you, and you could share Christ with. So Paul mentions boldness. We all need to have boldness in our lives. Whether it's NBT, Cola Class, the Ladies Ministry, Camp Joy, maybe it's friends or family visiting this summer, maybe it's a coworker you can spend time with, we need to be sharing the gospel. We need the power of prayer behind that. So I don't know where you're at with your witness, but I hope that you have a strong witness. I hope that you're praying for boldness this summer. I'm praying that you have a strong testimony of Christ. You know, summer is a great time. People tend to be more open in the summertime. So let's capitalize on this. Now, Wednesday, we had a special speaker here. It went a little bit long. We don't really have a prayer time. So I think I'm going to try to take that prayer time from Wednesday, and I want to push it all the way forward to tonight. Okay? So we're going to take a little bit of time in a minute, and you'll have chances to pray. Let's pray for our outreach this summer. Let's pray for our ministry. Let's pray for those that are up front, maybe, sharing the gospel. Maybe there's someone in your own life that needs prayer. Pray for that person. You're allowed to pray for me if you'd like, or Pastor Slagle. We'll always accept those prayers, right? We'll never turn that down. I think there's one additional prayer request if you want to share that.
Yeah, I received some communication with our mission.